gathering that we will have later this month. Not at this dais. This is it. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 20, Senate Bill 157. Senate Bill 157, as you'll remember, is a it defines public official, and it also establishes a $100 threshold of loss for mandatory reporting by a state agency to the Secretary of State's Audits Division, and that's the crux of it. I've been asked by the Speaker to keep this bill alive by referring it to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. So, Representative Brown?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 157 be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs.
Thank you. Representative Brown moves that Senate Bill 157 be referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. Is there any discussion?
My understanding, Mr. Chair, the purpose of the referral is to keep the bill alive.
That is correct.
Future purpose.
That is correct, and that's at the request of the Speaker. Any other comments, questions? Okay, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Brown?
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Chair
Butler's excused. Okay, Senate Bill 157, having received a constitutional majority, is referred to the Committee on State and Federal Affairs. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 157, and I'm going to open an informational meeting and review for DAS recommendations. And so, committee, I have stayed up all night drafting this. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it makes for a good headline. I know I'm too cheery to have stayed up all night, right? And so what I did is that on the notes that of course I left sitting up in my office, on the notes that I took from the other day when we went through and we were discussing the recommendations, I put together this draft, and if it's with the approval of the committee as in terms of the substance, what I'll do is reformat it into a format so that it's will be sent out to the Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, Committee on Budgets, both House and Senate, and then anybody else that would like to have a copy. What I've done is that I've just put a brief, and this is all dealing with the Department of Administrative Services, I put a brief introduction in, basically just talking about recommendations, the fact that we did look carefully at operations, charges, and plans for the Department of Administrative Services, and that functions that they perform are relevant and needed by the state government. And I also have noted, though, that we as a legislature need to be careful that we don't make DAS sort of a dumping ground where we just continue to put stuff on them and not give them the resources to be able to do those functions. I went through the hearing schedule as far as the dates and basically what we covered, and then finally starting on page 2 of 4, you'll see the recommendations for future action. First is with the assessments, and I tried to take pretty much from my notes exactly what we had talked about, that we looked at the assessments charged to the agencies, where the general authority for assessments lies in the statute, and then making the recommendation that either the Interim Committee for General Government or the Joint Legislative Committee on Audits, otherwise known as JLAC, would work with the director to further study the assessments as they are currently structured and determine if they can be improved to operate the department more efficiently, and then also recommending that the amounts transferred be examined for the highs and lows and amounts transferred from the departments are appropriate. You know, that those assessments that are being charged to the departments are appropriate is what we're sort of looking for on that. Any comments on that particular section? Okay. Second recommendation is then under the SMART, is the SMART buy. Under the Office of Procurement, I just laid out the fact that under the Office of Procurement, the department has started the SMART buy program. Why it was started is to help agencies create savings through particular buying techniques and contracts. The press did quote the former director, and I did note that, so that the amount of savings that could be surmised is pretty large, talking about then the amount that have been saved up to date and the what the expenses have been. And then going on to recommend that the actual savings, as we had talked about on Tuesday, should be measured against the historical cost so that we can actually see, quantify what those savings are, is the point that I'm trying to make here. And then also, I think what we had talked about was our staff having marketable skills to both inside as well as outside of state government and helping other people learn how a program like this can be effective for them. And it could be to local government, it could be to special districts, it could be to, the private sector maybe would want to hire a consultant that, you know, one of our workers could, you know, if they so chose to do that, not to try to chase them out, but also making sure that we have the knowledge base within our organization so that when eventually the cost of the consultant basically goes away. I did put in a cautionary note that to just be careful about implementing with the program so as to not to damage as much as practicable long-standing relationships that we've had with vendors. As you will recall, we had one vendor in particular that was because they sort of got left out in the bid process, became a little agitated. We've had a long-term relationship with them. It's just, you know, something to note and just to be cautious of. Any comments or questions about that section?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Rosenbaum?
Thank you. One comment point that's in here is that the savings from this program should be redirected to the agency budgets. And I don't remember discussing that at our meeting on Tuesday, but I also don't remember where are the savings currently going from the Smart Buy program. Are those...
Well, I think that's a good question, and no, we didn't actually talk about that specific point on Tuesday. So I did take a little editorial license here, but you'll note that in the budget bills that we're seeing on the floor right now, in the summaries, it talks about the Smart Buy savings, and there's being a reduction in the budget, but it doesn't say then where that reduction is going or where that savings is going. I suppose in the overall scheme of things, what's happening is that the money's just staying in the pot to be allocated out to the various agencies. And what I'm trying to drive at here is an incentive for our agencies and for our agency directors not to cut their programs short, but rather an incentive that if they can save dollars, for example, on services and supplies, redirect those dollars into the program areas. So, for example, if we're looking at DHS, which is probably the most abused in the press right now, is that if they're saving on services and supplies, and could they drive more of those dollars into a larger caseload for the Oregon Health Plan? Could they increase mental health benefits to potential clients? Could they redirect those dollars into the smoking cessation program? I mean, I think that give the agency that flexibility and the ability to take those savings and redirect them back into the program area is what I'm trying to suggest. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess. Do we know where those monies are they just going back into the general fund to be reallocated in the next budget?
I believe that that's what's, you know, the budget is being as we've noted with the last several budget bills that we've done. I've read that part of the I've read the summaries very carefully, and where it addresses the Smart Buy, it just says that there's a reduction. It doesn't say where those dollars are then going. And what I'm trying to get us to recognize is that if we can save on this end, on the services and supplies, and because of a program like Smart Buy, I'd like to redirect those dollars back into the program areas. That way we help more people in the state. And you know, you don't get the sense then that you're just driving the bureaucracy, but rather that the dollars are getting into the program areas.
Mr. Chair, one of the comments that you have in here, and I do fully support this, so I want to emphasize, I'm glad to see that you have in here that one of the goals for the program should also be for the procurement office staff to attain the skills necessary to carry out these functions, so the consultant will eventually not be needed. We had a little bit of discussion about that, and I think that that should be a key goal, because when I look at, I mean, it's great that we're saving $13 million, but we're still spending $4 million on consulting services, and that's $4 million that we could have towards schools or Department of Human Services. Mm-hmm. So I think we should really emphasize that to the Joint Legislative Audits Committee. I mean, I don't see that these skills aren't transferable. I mean, it's hard to imagine that it's such a specified niche that our DAS staff can't be trained. I mean, I think actually a goal of that we might want to add is for the consultant to train our employees so we can actually take over the program.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. And you'll remember that when we heard about the Smart Buy, and Mr. Petty, Dugan Petty from DAS, was here and talked about that. He talked about that transfer of the knowledge base to our staff, so that they would be able to do just that.
So I just want to emphasize that I think.
Okay.
You know, maybe even we can recommend that the consultants, you know, DAS maybe work out some deal where the consultants, I mean, it's hard because the reason the consultants, you know, they're making money off of this, so obviously they're probably not thrilled with the idea of transferring their knowledge base to our state employees. But the other is just to look at hiring somebody that has the same skills. And it's hard to imagine, you know, that we couldn't hire a couple people.
Right.
That have those same skills. It's going to cost us a lot less than the $4 million spending in consultant fees.
I would agree with that. The one problem that you run into is that in the private, and please don't take this as a knock on state government because it's not. But for consultants like that, the private sector tends to be more lucrative than a state position would be, and so, you know, sometimes a person that has that knowledge base maybe would rather stay in the private sector. But I think you're right. I mean, I would agree with that. If we have that knowledge base in-house, and that's the point that I was trying to make here, is that is going to be real beneficial to us as a state in the long run.
Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out. Are there any other comments about the Smart Buy program? Going down in number three, the strategic plan. You'll remember that when we were talking with Director Warner about the plans of the agency and kind of where they're going and that sort of thing. This was something that they have kicked around a little bit. They got started on one time and then they backed off because they got busy doing other things, which I think is a real common thing for us to do in general. And, you know, sort of what happens today then is, you know, once today's over, then it's done and we're on to tomorrow, whatever tomorrow is. And follow up sometimes doesn't get accomplished. So what we were suggesting here, and I think that we had talked about was that the JLAC, Joint Legislative Audits Committee, work with the department to develop a strategic plan so that they really are providing good customer service for the agencies that they serve, and that they and in some areas that the plan should definitely address, and also the training that DAS provides for the other agencies in utilizing some of the tools that are available, so that we really have a good working relationship between agencies and DAS, and DAS is sort of being that kind of turning some of their concepts more into a customer-centric type of operation, as opposed to a centralized, you know, top-down kind of operation. So I'll stop there. And
Mr. Chair,
Representative Brown.
The last couple of sentences in this section, though, I take issue with. I think that the statement there says services from the private sector provider is not necessary. If the, you know, their needs, so buying the services from private sector is not necessary. I think unless there's a clear and definite savings that the state of Oregon should not be investing money in infrastructure to just break even. They should be savings there, or they should go to the private sector.
Good point. I'll make a note here. So I'll put something in there about when greater savings can be attained. I can turn that around then a little bit. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
So that unless
still provide the same level of service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr.
Chair, you're right. Apples and apples, not.
Yeah. I mean, there's sort of a philosophical mm-hmm. point to that, which would be, do you think that we should be contracting out work that we're doing just to have sort of a zero-sum game? And personally, I think it should be done in order to save money. I mean, if
should
it does
intent,
save money,
yeah.
then I don't see any point in doing it. I think in terms of the state motor pool, the testimony we had was that right now we're doing both, though. We have a state motor pool, and we also are using some of the private car rental companies when it's more cost-effective to do that. The agencies can make that choice.
That is correct, and maybe that's flexibility. And please understand, I just used that as an example. I'm not trying to drive any... drive anything towards, you know, removing the state motor pool or anything like that. So I, you know, please understand that is only an example. And I could actually take that example out and just make the statement that going to the private sector when there's a greater level of savings that can be, or using the state. Staff when there's a greater level of savings than when we can go to the
still provide the service and meet the needs.
Yeah. Right. The key is providing the service, meeting the needs, and so that the agencies can do their job. I'll massage that a little bit. Okay. Any other comments about that section? Okay. Then let's move on to the last and final area of recommendation is facilities. Representative Butler on Tuesday had made some comments and raised concerns about the elimination of the Capital Planning Commission and making sure that we continue to work closely with the City of Salem. So I just try to make a pretty brief recommendation in there that the division, the facilities division, develop a plan for working with the city as far as building and property management, and I don't necessarily mean the dollars and cents kinds of stuff, but the property management from the standpoint of making sure that we meet city codes and all of that kind of stuff, and not allow a void to in the relationship to occur, and then recommending that for example, the Interim General Government Committee to work with the department to determine whether or not legislative package is necessary for 2007 with regards to facilities and that sort of thing. We kind of took on the issue of rents a little bit this session, and I think we came up with a good solution on that, also using this committee to keep the legislature apprised of what's going on with facilities. I don't know if that. So, any comments about that?
I agree with that.
Okay. And then finally, in the conclusions, what we've had the opportunity to study. Suggesting that the legislature continue to be vigilant in assuring the public and that the agency served by the department receive high quality services while carrying out their mission. And any questions can be certainly be referred to me, Mr. Chair. Any overall comments, questions? Substance is okay. You're fine with it. I'll massage that one area that we had talked about, and then I'll put out a final draft. I may what I may do is just when I put out the final before I send it to everyone in the world, I may circulate it to you all, take a quick look at, pass it on to the, and then get back to me if there's any questions. And then what I would do is have a respond by date and time, so that if I don't hear from you, I would assume that it's okay. So, with the changes, let me just go ahead and we'll make this kind of official since we do have a quorum here. Chair would move the acceptance of the draft report about DAS with the changes that have been discussed, and the chair will circulate a copy before sending it out to the world. So I'll make that motion that the committee accept the report. Any comments?
Good job.
Thank you.
Chair.
Questions? Thank you. Thank you very much, and I appreciate all of the work that you as committee members put into this as well. And I appreciate it very much. Any other thing? Anything else? Clerk, call the roll.
Excuse me?
Call the roll. We have a motion, so we'll go ahead and take a vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Show Representative Dingfelder and Butler as excused, please. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And with that, I will close the review of the DAS recommendations. And we don't have anything else. You guys want to just sit here with the record on and shoot the breeze for a while? Oh, no, I think we have
When's the
things.
Party?
Yeah. June 15th, I think, is the date that we're looking at, and I think time wise we're looking at around 6 p.m. So kind of go ahead and make a note to yourself to save the date.
And so, Mr. Chair, since this is our last hearing, I'd just like to say to you and to Representative Brown how much I've enjoyed working with you on the Audits Committee. I think it's been kind of an experiment since we really haven't had a session Audits Committee before this, and I think it's been productive, and hopefully it's something that we will be able to continue in future sessions.
I agree with you. Thank you. I agree with you.
And I had echoed the comments, and it's very obvious that this is an area that you have a great deal of interest in and work very hard at it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I do appreciate...
you got to spin the rules and let me vote on that last one. I'm sorry.
Would you like us to? We have not adjourned yet. So
it's your pleasure. I watched the vote as I finished up in revenue. So.
Okay. Tell you what, let me do this. I'll reopen the informational hearing on the DAS recommendations. And Chair requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow Representative Butler to vote on the draft. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative
Mr. Chair, I vote yes with the committee. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thank you. Show the record then that Representative Butler voted yes, and now I will close the meeting again. And if Representative Dingfelder were to come back, I'll close that informational meeting again. And let's see, we've already discussed the party, we've already discussed everything else, and thank you very much for your hard work, Representative Butler. And also I want to pass on thanks to our staff, Kelly and Jim, and the work that they've done. They've been a great asset to us, so I appreciate that. Any other comments? And with that, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You did a good job.